This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Here's something interesting to chew over. Coming off the Memorial, which is Jack Nicklaus's tournament in the Columbus, Ohio area. The next time we will see Tiger Woods in a golf tournament is the U.S. Open. How about that? I mean, we're in June. How did it get to be June? I just can't get over it. It feels like I was just on the road for the Super Bowl, for heaven's sakes. And here we are about to wrap hoops and hockey, the winter sports. And we're staring at a summer where there's a lot going on for sure, but it's like, wow, how in the world did we get to June? And now Monday is June 4th. So before you know it, it's going to be Father's Day weekend and the U.S. Open. And I've mentioned this before on the show. I've also tweeted about it, but I'm going to a U.S. Open for the first time ever. It's at Shinnecock Hills, which is in the Hamptons. I've never even been to the Hamptons. I'm not sure I fit in the Hamptons. I feel as though I will stick out like a sore thumb in the Hamptons. And it's a tournament that has got some history. And certainly for Tiger Woods, the way he's hitting the ball, or you know what, the way he hit the ball at the Memorial, probably the best that he has hit the ball collectively over four rounds since he returned. But it was his putter that failed him. Some of the numbers from his putting over the weekend, you wouldn't believe it. If you just saw the numbers and you didn't know it was Tiger, you would think it was someone who, you know, didn't make a killing with his excellence on the greens.
Nothing surely can stop that.
But it's interesting to watch this progression with Tiger Woods, because there are some days, some rounds where he's not putting it well. There are other rounds where he's not hitting his irons well, or his driver betrays him. You get the sense that he's getting closer to putting it all together. And if it had not been for the putter, potentially this could have been a win, or at least a situation where Tiger was again challenging for the lead on the final round Sunday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're inside the Quicken Loans studios, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, including that fun Golden Knights tweet that was a play on Wheel of Fortune. And we've got a poll that right now couldn't be closer about LeBron's future versus the NBA Finals, so I'll let you check that out. I'd love to hear from you, though, if you are one of the people who said that Tiger Woods was a favorite to win the Masters. How do you now feel about the U.S. Open, where he's come close? And honestly, the U.S. Open is a tournament that rewards accurate, confident ball striking. Now, yes, you do need to putt well for sure, but generally, U.S. Opens are punitive, big time, if you cannot keep the ball in the fairway, if you can't hit it straight, if you can't place the ball where you need to get a good approach shot. And so Tiger Woods is now talking about minor tweaks here and there as he looks ahead to the U.S. Open. If you look at some of the numbers pre-green, you would think this was a guy who could have won, should have won. He was actually first in proximity to the hole. All kinds of crazy stats in golf, but one of them that kind of indicates how well he's striking the ball is that he was first among all of the golfers So 73 of them played four rounds. And he was first among those 73 golfers in proximity to the hole. He was within 24 feet on average from his approach shot to on the green. And yet, he missed seven putts inside 5 feet. So he's first among the 73 golfers in terms of his proximity to the hole, but he's second to last in putting. Second to last in the stat, the technical name for it is strokes gained putting. Essentially, it measures how you compare to the rest of the field in terms of putts. But he needed 118 putts. So there are 72 holes over the course of the 4 days, and he needed 118 putts on those 72 holes. He had 5 3 putts. Now, this is a guy who used to dominate. In fact, putting was his major weapon. Putting, so much of it is mental. And we know that when Tiger was dominating the world of golf, he had the mental edge. It was that steely stare that he would give on the green. I mean, I can remember his routine. He would go through that same routine. He would stalk his putt. And that used to be one big advantage for him. You just expected that he would have exactly what he needed to hit those putts. If they were anywhere within 10 feet, you just knew it was automatic. Because he was mechanical about it. He was so efficient. And now, odd to see him. And it's not the first time. A couple of his tournaments that he's been back, we've seen the putter just not show up in his bag. So the U.S. Open, really critical to strike the ball well. But he got to be able to close. Also, I talk to golfers sometimes, like real golfers, and they say they hate the phrase drive for dough and putt for show. No, it's the other way. Drive. Yeah. I should have known. I should have written it down first. Me and cliches. Drive for show, putt for dough. They say they hate that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio.
So he's going to hate.
There were a couple of rounds that were dynamic for Tiger Woods. The middle two rounds, so Friday and Saturday, he played really well. Now, the course set up for guys to play well. There were a lot of other guys who were deep into red numbers. But to see the way that he was out there, and you kind of could almost, especially Saturday, kind of lose yourself and think, this is the Tiger Woods that we remember. And so it certainly was fun to watch him hit the ball. But then, like, stubbing your toe on the green, just what? Almost inexplicable. And so the two parts of his game weren't necessarily jiving. However, he's calling them minor tweaks to get ready for the U.S. Open.
I had some chances to shoot some good rounds today, this week. Overall, my game is where it needs to be heading into the U.S. Open. That's something that's very positive.
Tiger on the Golf Channel, he ends up finishing tied for 23rd, but only 6 shots out of the playoff. And there were a couple of moments on Sunday where he had a chance to pull within 3 strokes of the lead or 2 strokes of the lead, being ahead of the guys that were in those final pairings, of course. But he was in the mix, and we've seen him in the mix a few times over the course of this comeback of his. It's just about putting the whole game together. And then, of course, in golf, as it is in like a sport, say NASCAR, you're not just competing against one other guy or one other driver. It's a fluid situation because the field itself is always changing. So you may be 5 strokes off the pace and you may be putting your whole game together, but chances are that it's coming together for another golfer or two as well at the same time. These guys are just so good. And, I mean, Jordan Spieth doesn't even make the cut. In fact, there were a lot of big names that didn't make the cut at the Memorial. And then you have Bryson DeChambeau, who, well, he could have won it outright, ends up in a playoff, wins it on the third playoff hole. I mean, how many people out there could name this guy? If I took a poll Monday around my neighborhood, there wouldn't be one person, I bet. Maybe one person who could tell me who won this tournament. Not a household name. And yet, he can put it all together. Any of these guys can win on any given weekend. So that's kind of the deal, is you're not just competing against the course, you're also competing against a ton of other golfers, dozens of other golfers who at any time could be making the putts that you aren't, could be hitting the fairway that you didn't. It's one of the things I love about golf is that you can have a no-name become a household name on any given weekend. And certainly that happens with the majors. And we've had a bunch of first-time major winners over the last several years in the sport of golf. But his next stop is, in fact, golf's next major. And that adds a little spice to it, I think. We're just talking about a couple of weekends away and this last bit of preparation.
I just need to hit better putts. This week I didn't feel comfortable with my lines, and my feel was a little bit off. Consequently, I missed a bunch of putts, but I hit it really good this week. So that's a positive going into Shinnecock, where ball striking is going to be a must. Obviously, way different golf shots around the greens. Lots of bump and runs and putters or spinners. It'll be very different. Overall, if I hit the ball like this, I'll be pleased in 2 weeks.
Eek! I know it's all about me. In fact, it's not at all about me. But just to hear him talk about a major that I'm going to be attending, that makes me happy. So I've had some recommendations. For those of you who've been to golf tournaments before, I've never been to a major. I have been to other golf tournaments. For instance, Deutsche Bank. I've been to Deutsche Bank a couple of times. And I prefer to walk around. That's how I like to do it. I like to get exercise. I like to move around. I like to see as many holes as I possibly can. I just like to be out there among the people who are milling around, but also find spots here and there where you can get on the ropes and you can hear the guys talk to each other, talk to their caddies. By the way, one time when I went to the Deutsche Bank Championship, which is in Massachusetts, I was, in fact, following the throngs with Tiger Woods, and I don't think it was the final round, and I don't think that he was in contention the 1 year that I was there. At least he wasn't atop the leaderboard, and I remember walking around with the crowds of people, and Elon was also walking around as well, and for the most part, people left her alone. Boy, oh boy, she's tiny, like little bitty tiny, like my niece, my 17-year-old niece, who's like a stick figure tiny. Anyway, so it was kind of fun to just see you when you go to tournaments that are not majors, you then can kind of see some of the other people who are following these groups around because it's not nearly as tight quarters. But I've been told by people who've been to majors that you should set up in one spot so that way you see everyone. But I don't know that I want to do that. I like to get the exercise. I like to see as many holes as possible. I like to experience the crowds. It doesn't bother me if I have no place to go and I'm just out there. Like, whatever. I don't mind throwing a few elbows to get through the crowd. That's not a problem.
I can't imagine staying in one place.
Mm-mm.
Doing that either. Yeah.
No.
I've been to the Barclays twice, never to a major, but it was pretty packed, and I still found it okay to move around. I like following a group for a few holes and then move around the rest of the day. See what you can see.
I don't want to just see one hole. I want to be able to see as much of Shinnecock Hills as possible. Also, it would be great if the weather could cooperate at any point sometime soon. I feel like it's not the last time I saw the sun, but I saw more sun my week in South Carolina than I have seen in the 2 weeks since I've been back.
Yes!
I actually had to move my vegetable plants inside again because my poor tomato was turning yellow. The leaves are turning yellow. And I walked downstairs on Sunday morning and, you know, we'd had a bunch of rain. This is in the New York City area. And so the tomato plant is really tall. And I walked downstairs and looked out the window and it was bent all the way over. And I thought, are you kidding me? Did a wind just break it in half? Thankfully, it wasn't broken. The stem wasn't broken. It was just bent over from the wind. And so I immediately went outside and pulled that and the two peppers back inside. But they're not getting the sunlight that they need.
It's amazing it rained the entire time you were gone, too.
Yeah,
it's been raining.
I got a good week in South Carolina for sure. I'm thankful for that. So we will see. We will see what the weather will bring for Shinnecock Hills, which is just a couple of weeks away now. Wowzers. If you have advice for me, you just let me know. Apparently, there's no restrictions on bag size as long as you have your bag checked. But who really wants to lug a bag around?
Bring your clubs.
Although I'm not a fanny pack person, so I will not be wearing a fanny pack. At the very least, I would be carrying a backpack, probably. Something that I could put, you know, off of. But maybe more like a satchel that I can wear over my shoulder.
Is it the one place you can still get away with a fanny pack? Like a golf tournament? I think you can get away with it.
People run with fanny packs in half marathons.
Oh, that's a good example.
Because they want to have their chapstick. They want to have their phone. Right. Maybe Kleenex, something like that. And they want, you know, they don't want to leave those things anywhere. And so I do see people running with fanny packs. I can't do it. I can't. My mother loved fanny packs and was always trying to get me to wear them. When we go to NASCAR races, she would expect me to wear a fanny pack so we could carry our valuables with us. And I couldn't.
And my dad was big in fanny packs too.
Felt like it was a sore, like something's like, ow, you know, I just can't, I have to itch it.
It's growth or something.
Yeah. Just awful. Like it's not my thing. Anyway. So if you have recommendations for me about wandering the grounds at Shinnecock Hills, you just let me know on Twitter, A Law Radio. Coming up, a star pitcher has some strong words for his team after a really disappointing weekend. That's putting it mildly. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, hey, Michael, can you get that guy on the top of the hill to move over? And then you cannot stand there, Mike. You got, just go. Yeah, thank you.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
In the very near future, Major League Baseball will be the only big-time team sport, the only of the four major professional sports that is in session, that is in season. And so baseball is about to take over the center ring of the circus. Not quite yet, but there's a lot going on to lead up to this point. We're maybe 6 weeks away from the All-Star break. And so you have time to catch up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I say if you hit three home runs in a game and one is the game winner, well, then you deserve to be on a countdown.
Number three.
Allen holding, now throwing, and a 2-1 pitch, a towering fly ball. Right center field, Zimmer watching, Zimmer turning, it's going to be gone! Eddie Rosario, a three-homer day, and the Twins win it, 7-5. For as painful as the walk-off losses have been, this is as sweet as it gets. Rosario being hoisted in the air by his teammates.
Corey Provis with the call on the Minnesota Twins Radio Network. Yeah, if you're going to hit three home runs in a game, how cool is it that one of them happens to be a walk-off? And so Eddie Rosario of the Twins has his second career three home run game. He also did it last year, also against the Indians. And he does it here to help the Twins beat the Indians in three of their four game series. So I don't know, maybe don't bury the Twins just yet. It's been a rough season for the AL Central, but as you hear Corey Provis mention on the Twins Radio Network, they've been on the wrong end of a lot of walk-offs. They've been the team that's had to stand there in the field all dejected, or the receiving end, and they're the ones who are watching the other team celebrate, and now here they are getting a chance to do it at the expense of the Cleveland Indians. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So it's joy in Minneapolis, joy for the Twins at Target Field, the complete opposite for the Philadelphia Phillies these days.
Number two.
The 1-0 pitch. Arrieta swings and lifts it high and deep to left field. Going back on it, Williamson. He's at the wall. It is gone. A home run for Arrieta. And the Phillies have ended their scoring drought with a home run from the pitcher.
Of course.
1-0 Phillies.
Oh, can you hear the sarcasm there on the Phillies radio network? Jake Arrieta, who is the pitcher they acquired during spring training to try to boost their team and be their ace and lead them into the wild blue yonder in this first season with Gabe Kapler as the manager. This is supposed to be a reset for the Phillies, and they are still above 500, but at times their offense is a bit non-existent. So Jake Arrieta is the only guy who provides a run in the entire series against the San Francisco Giants. You hear it there. And then afterwards, we couldn't help but hear what Jake Arrieta had to say. He doesn't point any fingers, but he does point out that this is rough.
Overall, it's just really horrible series. Really bad. Really bad. So, hopefully we can do something on the off day to get us back back in the right mindset to play a good team at Wrigley Field.
A horse bleep series. He didn't actually offer any specific recommendations about how the team could turn things around, but he did go on to say that everybody needs to be better. Accountability is required right now. He says, actually, we need to have an accountability check. And he points to, hey, we had a good April, and it was a pretty good May. But June, not so much. A horse bleep series. But Jake Arrieta is calling out his teammates, not individually, but when you've got a guy who will stand up there and be that upset and say, this is not acceptable. Well, if he's the leader, then guys have to listen. If he's the leader, then guys will have to fall in line. Again, they are above 500, so it's not like all is lost. But to only score one run in a series and it comes from your pitcher, yes, gut check time. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Man alive, we've had a bunch of games in Major League Baseball this year nearly go into the no-hit category. And no, it's not because people are tweeting about it or mentioning it out loud that, this guy has a no-hitter in the eighth inning, or this guy is not allowed to hit yet through seven. It's just that this is the way of Major League Baseball, and we nearly had another piece of history on Sunday.
Number one.
There's a line drive, base hit in the right field. It was a clean line drive over the head of Colton Wong, and there goes the no-hitter. Listen to this crowd.
It was a lot of fun. You know, me and Paney got on a heck of a groove there, got on a great page where we were working in and out, up and down on these guys, and felt like we got them in a good little pattern where we were keeping off balance, and obviously the defense was making plays behind me.
Michael Wacha is looking on the bright side, finding the silver lining. John Rooney with the call as he loses his no-hit bid in the ninth inning. He actually got through the eighth inning on just 12 pitches. So still efficient at that point, though he was at 107 pitches total. But after he retired the side in order there in the eighth, there was a lot of hope that he could get the final three outs. And then he falls short as Colin Moran leads off the ninth and actually lined an 0-2 pitch. It was a changeup, and it was over the head of the second baseman, as you hear there on the Cardinals radio network. So Cardinals, piece of history for you. The Cardinals haven't had a no-hitter since 2001, and they haven't had one at home since 1983. Nerd alert. But those are some of your storylines in Major League Baseball. The Sunday night baseball game that was opposite the NBA Finals was Red Sox-Astros. So potentially a lot of intrigue there if you consider that these two teams are among the best in Major League Baseball. The Yankees were rained out on Sunday against Baltimore, and so they slipped a half game back of the Red Sox. But they have a bunch of games that they still have to play. So the Red Sox have played far more games than they have. In fact, the Red Sox are now at 60 games, where the Yankees are only at 54. And so they've had so many rainouts. They actually have a doubleheader on Monday. But the Red Sox are now at 41 wins. They're the only team in Major League Baseball that's over 40. And yet they have just a game lead on the Yankees. So, again, have got some ground to make up in terms of the number of games. Thanks so much for tuning in. I appreciate it when you send me your recommendations for how I should navigate a golf tournament. Should I be working on my golf clap?
Quiet, please.
I'm just no good at that. Even when I go golfing myself, if I hit a birdie putt, I usually let out a wah, something along those lines. Anyway, you can find me on Twitter, @LawRadio. Thanks so much for tuning in. One moment that you did not hear in our baseball countdown, probably my favorite moment of the weekend. It's a moment that will make you smile, and that does remind you that miracles really do come true.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Wait until I tell you what I did in the last 3 minutes. It may have been my best WWE move ever. I think I should tell Taz. In fact, there may be security camera footage of it. Oops. You know me. Nothing comes between me and my food. I will explain coming up. What about summer? Is that better with Taz and the Moose? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you're awakening, if you're waking up on your Monday morning, well, let's hop to it, bubs. Let's go. No more hitting the snooze, although that would be hypocritical of me because I always hit the snooze. I'm constantly telling Penny, couple more minutes, Penny. Just a couple more minutes, and then we'll get your dinner. She knows, though, too, because she sits down on the floor next to the bed and goes, I love it when dogs sigh. It always seems so perfectly timed. How do they know? They just know. And she's generally patient, except when it comes to dinner. Like mama, like puppy. All right, so I promised you a piece of evidence that miracles really do come true. That is the exact word that White Sox pitcher Danny Farquhar used as he was making TV appearances on Friday morning. One particular interview he did with Good Morning America, he said, a few doctors have called me a miracle and told me how lucky I am to be as functional as I am. And if you don't remember his story, these are actually his first major comments since he had a brain aneurysm in the dugout in mid-April. And you remember, he had just come off the field, he'd gotten a couple of outs, and all of a sudden he collapsed in the dugout. And it is a testament to the staff that was there, his teammates, obviously the medical personnel and the training staff. It's a brain hemorrhage during a game. And there he was doing interviews on Friday morning and walking out onto the field to do a ceremonial first pitch in Chicago on Friday night.
One of the White Sox team physicians from Rush, Dr. Kathy Weber. The medical staff from Rush University Medical Center, who provided care to him throughout his recovery, as well as his White Sox coaches, teammates, and staff. He's expected to make a full recovery and plans to pitch again in the future. Fans, please welcome back to the mound White Sox pitcher, number 43, Danny Farquhar.
Pretty amazing moment. It goes on and on. It was such a scene. If you haven't seen the pictures or the video, I actually tweeted it or retweeted it on Friday night. So you could always check it out on my Twitter, @LawRadio, or just Google it. It's amazing that he is able to walk out there and the entire mound is surrounded, as you hear the PA announcer say, with doctors, with medical personnel that treated Danny, with his teammates, with their wives, with his own family. Just an incredible scene. And the smile on his face and the fact that he's able to get up there and throw a pitch. And what I thought of was, okay, awesome step. I can't wait until he's actually throwing in a game that counts. It was pretty amazing to hear him talk about the perspective too, what this does when you have a brush with death, when you realize how close you've come to having everything done for you. And now here you are, not only healthy, but completely cleared by doctors. That's what he said on Friday. He's completely cleared by doctors. They expect him to resume his pitching career. He expects to resume his pitching career. He's even working out. Now, he does have to have his stress levels monitored. Of course, you can imagine they're always looking at his vitals. According to him, there's also some memory loss after this aneurysm. But considering the alternative, which is no memories ever again, this is... it's a miracle. So this was an amazing scene to see. And he did speak a little bit to the press afterwards, just talking about the moment and how much it meant to him to have his teammates out there behind him as he's throwing out this first pitch.
You know, I prepared myself for today. The thing that caught me off guard was the whole team coming out to the mound. I thought that was an incredibly special moment. Whoever's decision that was, I'm sure it was James Shields. He's an incredible leader that we have. That really caught me off guard, and that was probably the most special moment of the night for me.
The smile on his face is worth seeing the video. And then to think about where he was on April 20th. So what, 6 weeks ago? 7 weeks ago? Awesome. This was my favorite moment of the weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So, yeah, it'll be – can you imagine the scene when he does take the ball again and get out there in his next big league relief appearance? Long way to go for sure, but the fact that the doctors have cleared him, that he's allowed to work out, and that he's almost completely functional, that really the only problems – and I'm using my air quotations, are that he has some memory loss and that he has a scar. What a testament to not only those who were there in the dugout with him, but the medical teams that treated him, and also just the technology in 2018. It's incredible what science and medicine can do now, and the things that used to be fatal, the diseases or the conditions or the emergencies that used to be fatal that are not anymore, even in cancer. And I only have this on my mind because I have a friend who's going through treatment for breast cancer. She had surgery. It was an extremely aggressive form of breast cancer that she was diagnosed with, as a friend of mine in Oklahoma. And right away, the doctors wanted to get her into surgery. And I've tweeted about this a little bit. So within days, she had surgery. And they believed right away that they had caught all the cancer, that it hadn't spread to her lymph nodes, but she went back for testing and they wanted to be sure. So her scans came up clean, and still they're doing 20 weeks of chemotherapy. Technically, she is cancer free. They got it all. And they're still doing 20 weeks of chemotherapy. And the first 6 weeks are the kind of chemotherapy that knocks you flat. She said for the first 6 weeks, she can only go once a week because it's the kind where they just are pumping your body full of anything they possibly can to prevent any cancerous cells from growing. And so she's very optimistic. She's so thankful that the surgery caught it. And even with this really aggressive form of breast cancer, you know, if you catch breast cancer early enough now, it's 95% treatable. I mean, that's amazing. It used to be that the only recourse was to do a complete mastectomy. And that's the same for a lot of different cancers. The only way to get it out of your body was to physically remove it. And the medicine has come so far, and it's amazing that this guy has a brain aneurysm in a dugout. It's not like he's in a hospital or close to a hospital. And yet here he is, walking, talking, smiling, laughing, throwing out the first pitch. He's been completely clear by his doctors, and it hasn't even been 2 months. Yeah, miracles definitely do still happen. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. I know I heard from a lot of baseball fans on Friday when I tweeted it, so you can check it out on our Twitter. And I'm sure that producer Tom has retweeted. Did you find something to retweet, a video? All right, well, when he has an opportunity, he definitely will. Be able to retweet that video so you can see it, because it's a pretty awesome scene. You rarely see a first pitch when there are so many people out there on the field, but everybody wanted to be a part of it, to be sure. Okay, so there's no easy transition from that to my WWE move, but I just have to share with you, I'm very proud of this. I had an early dinner. And I cooked on the grill before it got dark, and so I ate long before the NBA Finals tipped off, and now it's been, oh my gosh, it's been 10 hours since I ate, so I'm hungry. And I spotted Sun Chips in the vending machine in the kitchen. I love Sun Chips. And so every now and then I will indulge in a bag of Sun Chips. So I go out there during the break, our last break, and out to the kitchen, and I get... this is me. I'm like using every nickel I have in my change purse. So it takes me like 20 minutes to get all the coins in there for the dollar. And I press my number, and wouldn't you know, the bag of Sun Chips only comes halfway out. uh-oh. So I first give it a smack with my palm, or about level with the Sun Chips, where they're hanging on the second row. And that makes them wiggle, but it does not make them fall. So I gave it another stiff arm, the forearm shiver. And yep, they move a little more, but do not fall to the bottom. And so wouldn't you know it, I had to step back, take two big steps, and body slam the vending machine with my left shoulder. Well, 450 pounds, that might be overstating it. But I feel as though Taz would be proud of me. I mean, I body slammed this puppy. And then I laughed, of course, because who body slams a vending machine? But I was not walking away without my Sun Chips. So the Sun Chips promptly fell to the bottom, and I was able to collect them. And then I looked around to try to find the security cameras, and wouldn't you know, I spotted them. Now, I have no idea if they are operational, but I can only hope that that security camera footage ends up making the rounds, because it had to be the best thing those security guards are going to see all day. Amy Lawrence. Do you think that's against company policy?
It's probably just frowned upon, not officially against policy. Especially what? Body slamming,
you know,
from the front.
What's frowned upon? The vending machine taking my money.
Yeah, exactly. And it happens a lot with these. I hope you did it from the side, though, not straight on.
Straight on.
Wow.
Right into the window.
Oh,
boom,
man.
With the left shoulder.
And that is frowned upon.
I'm not the one who's going to have a bruise. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. With a quick way you can save money, switch to GEICO. And if you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too, get it all at GEICO.com. Coming up, Steph body slammed the Cavaliers. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.